Morning, everybody. Pastor Don used to say, "You look good. Y'all look good." You do. An amazing morning. Amazing morning already. A lot of ringing going on here. I don't know if you can hear that, but I can hear it. So the title of this message is The Journey Beyond Salvation, Kingdom Living. Kingdom Living, and everything we just sang about for the last half hour, 40 minutes, has been about that. It's been about that very idea of kingdom living. And I'm going to just share a few quick scriptures, and I'll tell you if the message sounds, if the title of the message sounds familiar, you heard it last week, and I'll talk about that briefly. But I just want to just give a couple quick verses here about the journey beyond salvation. Just a couple of scriptures that quickly put that idea in context. That you know, we get saved, and then what happens? And so in 1 Corinthians, Paul addresses the people here. And I'm already moving ahead here. Uh-oh, now what happened? Oh, nope, that's not it. It's not where I'm starting. Starting with Colossians 2. There we go. Colossians 2. Just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, the instruction then, keep living there. Continue. So if you're in this room today and you've received Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. And we'll talk a little bit as this message goes on about what that means, about how to do that, what's part of continuing to live with Him. That you're rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in your faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. So there's something as we continue to live with Him that spills out of us. And it's the simple idea of being thankful for what He's done. He saved you from the pit of hell. He saved you from eternal damnation. And so the result of that is a thankful heart. Overflowing, it means that it's spilling. Kingdom living with that spilling out of just, I'm thankful. If the Lord never did another thing for me, if He never did another thing for me, He will. There's lots more that He'll do for us. But if He never did another thing for me, He saved me. He forgave me of my sins. He set my life on a different course. Thankfulness. Ephesians 4, 22, 24. You were taught, this is Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Journey beyond salvation. Put off your old self. Put on your new self. Because your old self is what? Being corrupted by deceitful desires. Guess what? Once we say yes to Jesus, the deceitful desires just don't automatically go away. We have to cooperate with the work God has begun in us. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And then finally, Colossians 3, 1 to 2 and 5 says this, since you've been raised with Christ, journey beyond the salvation, do what set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly self. And so the journey beyond salvation means setting our hearts on something different, setting our minds on something different than what we set our hearts and minds on when we were still living for the world. So this title is stolen directly from Pastor Shane's message last week. Stolen directly from his message. If you were here, you heard it. I was taking notes during his lesson. The very first sentence I wrote down from his notes was, "There's a journey beyond salvation." And then he said, "I'm saved, but what's next? I'm saved, but what's next?" So when I sat down, I was sit down Tuesday morning, I was sitting out on my porch at home, and I was just writing down thoughts and notes that have been on my mind for a couple of weeks, just saying, "Lord, what do you have for this week?" And I was asking the Holy Spirit to show me, you know, where he was taking me this week. So I wrote down a couple pages of notes and went into the house and grabbed a cup of coffee. And then I heard very clearly, "Go sit down some more. Go sit down some more." So I sat down some more. And as I did, I was looking over my notes from Sunday, and that's when I saw what Pastor Shane had said. There's a journey beyond salvation. And as I was working on this week, I was thinking, my goodness, I came to know Jesus when I was 20 years old, a junior in college, and I thought I could probably spend the rest of my life every single week speaking about the journey that I've been on since Jesus saved me in that college dorm room all those years ago. All those years ago. Because the reality is the work that he has begun in us never stops. It never stops. And so there's a journey that doesn't end with just our promise of eternal life in heaven. I am so grateful for that promise. So grateful that we have that promise and we get look forward to that. We can look forward to our eternity with Jesus. But the reality is this life is an amazing adventure. But if you, because I know many of you in this room, I don't know everybody, but I know most of you, and I know most of you somewhat well, that when we embrace that idea that this journey with Jesus is the most exciting adventure we'll ever be on, we'll want to do that more and more every day, all day, every day, all day. The journey continues, transformation's still happening. And so as I was, so I kind of knew where I was going, you know, with this message, and the Lord gave me the title, the Lord gave me a little bit of an outline for it. And as I took a little break, and I just happened to just real quickly check my Facebook post, Facebook page, and I saw a post from a friend, and it said this. Yes, it was this very first scripture right here. So it was Galatians 5:24, and it says this: "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And so I saw that, and I thought, oh my goodness, that's a part of the journey beyond salvation. The flesh is crucified. And what began to happen in the next, I don't know, 5-10 minutes was the Lord just gave me this rapid fire list of verses, and I'm going to go through them as quickly as he gave them to me. And I actually have printouts of these. If you don't want to take notes on them, I have a printout, and there's about I think 10 or 11 verses here. But again, they just describe very quickly some of the things that happen when we say yes to Jesus, and then begin to obey him, begin to learn to obey him. And so that first one is crucified flesh. You know, we have passions and desires, and sometimes even as believers, those still try to rise up. But because we now have Jesus living inside of us, he sent us his Holy Spirit, who now empowers us, we don't have to give in to those desires of the flesh any longer. We have a supernatural power to overcome. He's given us that power. And so that's part of the journey of life after salvation. The journey after salvation is to walk that out, to walk that out. And so I'm just going to read through these kind of quickly. Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself up for me." And I am going to pause on that one because I remember being in a Bible study at the home of Bill and Martha Arn. Some of you will remember that name. They were pillars here who are now with Jesus, have been gone for quite a while. But I remember being at a Bible study at their home, and Bill was teaching on this passage, and I remember him reading, "I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live," and I thought, I don't think I can say that. And I was already a believer. I had received Jesus as my Lord, but I thought, there's too much of Jeff Shoke and Jeff Shoke's agenda in life. And so I remember being right there in that room saying, Lord, I need to be able to say those words and say them honestly, that my flesh has been crucified with you, and that everything I do, everything, the life I live now, everything is committed to your way, to your will, and to your way. Let's go on, Luke 9:23. Whoever wants to be my disciple, Jesus, these are Jesus' words, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross daily, and follow me. Follow me, follow me. Pastor Shane talked a lot about once you say yes to Jesus, you keep following him. You keep following him. He talked about how we kind of see the footsteps that he's taking, and we walk in them. We walk in his footsteps. Colossians 2, 6, and 7, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in your faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, put off your old self. It's being corrupted by deceitful desires. Be made new in the attitude of your minds. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Colossians 3, 1, 2, 5, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Put together whatever belongs to with your earthly body. Luke 14, 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And we certainly know Jesus isn't telling you to hate your family. He's saying, but if you want to be my disciple, your love for me has to come first. In fact, if your love for me comes first, you will love your wife and your children and your mother and your father and your brother and your sister with a supernatural love that can't compare to your fleshly love. 2 Corinthians 5:16, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. That's a hard one. Think of who might be described as your enemy. Think of who you might describe as someone that you just disagree with. We regard no one from a worldly point of view. Maybe they're a Democrat. Maybe they're a Republican. Maybe they live a lifestyle you don't agree with. How do we view them? Do we view them through the lens of how God views them? Since we know what it is to fear God, we try to persuade others. Journey beyond salvation. We now have a message to tell. Pastor Don said it all the time. Tell your story. You have a story because Jesus did a work in your heart if you said yes to him. Tell your story. You don't have to tell anybody else's. Yours doesn't have to compare to anybody else's. It's your story of salvation. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I remember learning that early in my walk as a young man. It was helpful. Learning to take captive our thoughts. We have lots of thoughts that don't line up with the Word of God. We have lots of thoughts that love to gratify the sinful nature that used to reside in us. We have resources available to us to do this journey. 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, saying you're still worldly, you're mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, because you're not ready for it. But indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly because there's jealousy and quarreling among you. Are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? The reality is we don't have to act like mere humans. Yes, we're humans. Yes, we're still living in fleshly bodies, but we're living a different way. We get to live a different way on this journey beyond salvation. And then finally, James 2:1-4, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of every kind, because you know the testing of your faith. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. When I wrote this particular verse down, I was reminded of 4 years ago when, you know, I had heart surgery, was preparing to have heart surgery, and I had just spoken a message that said, whatever you have to go through, it's all for your glory, all for your glory, all for your glory, Jesus. And then the next day, you have to have quadruple bypass surgery. All for your glory, Jesus. All for your glory, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of that and said, don't have a pity party. Don't have a pity party. Your vacation's canceled. You're going to be laid up a while. Don't have a pity party. It's all for my glory. And it was and still is for his glory. But we go through stuff. We go through stuff on this journey beyond salvation. And it tests our faith. Who do we really believe? Who are we really relying on? Are we relying on our own strength? Are we relying on the wisdom of doctors and medicine and all those things? Nothing wrong with getting help from those industries that are available to us. But the ultimate person we rely on is Jesus. He's our source. He's our source. So those are just a quick snapshot of verses. I have a printout here if anybody wants them. So then when I was writing my notes, one of the things I wrote down, and this was before I had the title. This was just what was on my mind. What this journey beyond salvation looks like. These were in my notes before I knew this was the title, but here's what it looks like. It's living on mission. Living on mission. Are we living life every single day with the thought that God has a plan for every step I take today, every person I encounter today? Some I'm going to speak a word to, some I may not. But that doesn't matter. He's so detailed. Details matter to him. But we don't have to live life in some sort of walking on eggshells. We get to live life in Jesus, and there's a freedom in that. So living life on mission, that I may get to speak hope to somebody today. I may get to encourage you. I'm sitting here looking at Fran. Fran is leaving. We're going to pray for her next Sunday before she leaves because she's going on another one of her trips. And we know, if you know Fran at all, Fran, when she's planning on one of these trips, she knows she's on a mission. She's on a mission before she ever gets to her destination. Actually, the trip is part of the plan. She knows that whoever is sitting next to her, if she absolutely knows this and lives her life this way, that whoever's sitting next to her, it's orchestrated by Holy Spirit for her to be able to share Jesus with them. And it happens every single time. There's times when she's like, Lord, this is a hard one. Lord, I don't know how we're going to get there. But they always get there. But she lives her life this way. And I'm not putting Fran on a pedestal. I'm saying this is, we Abundant Life Fellowship, we, the body of Christ, not just Abundant Life, the body of Christ lives, gets to live on mission that wherever we happen to be, the person next to us, maybe someone we're supposed to speak life to. Yes, your granddaughter. Or your granddaughter to you. It may not be one-sided here. So we live on mission. We're living at the feet of Jesus. We're living at the feet of Jesus. Remember, we talk about this verse a lot around here, that we know the whole Martha and Mary scenario, and there was complaining going on by one, and the other was sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning from him. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning from him. And Jesus said, this will not be taken away from her. She's found what is most important. And so when we're living at the feet of Jesus, we are living in touch with him. We're getting instructions from him. And part of living at the feet of Jesus means staying bowed down, that we're not getting all puff-headed, all big-headed about whatever, or thinking we're all that. We are not all that. He's all that. We're just vessels for him to flow through. We're living with a kingdom mindset, kingdom living. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth. On earth. So let your kingdom flow out of me. Let me live life in such a way that it looks supernatural, that because it is. Living seated next to Jesus in heavenly places and functioning from that position. The journey beyond salvation means living as a willing and active member of God's ecclesia in the middle of everyday life situations. And we've talked about the ecclesia several times in the last couple of years, that God is raising up a people. He's raising up a people, a body of believers that will be about what he's about, that are carrying the kingdom wherever we go, whatever we're doing. Ruling, even in this culture, because we're not living as the world lives. And if you're still stuck there or you're still struggling with any of that, talk to someone to say, I'm still struggling with it. It's not a condemnation. We're not here to beat anybody up over that. We're saying, Lord, the Lord's calling us to a higher place. Not out of any sense of arrogance. It's not an arrogant thing. This isn't a superiority thing. We know a Savior. We know a Savior who paid the price. And so if we're struggling getting past this bondage or this stronghold or this sin or this whatever it is, ask for help. We're here. There's a whole body of people that says we want to see freedom, because many of us have received freedom. We're still receiving freedom. None of us has arrived. Living with and doing life with like-minded people. I think it was Cliff a couple weeks ago, we came in here and we were worshiping. He said, I love being able to worship with like-minded people. And the reality of that is just that we get to encourage one another to go farther. Let's go a little deeper. Let's do something in your worship you've never done before. Let's experience him in some deeper way. Experience something in your prayer life you've never experienced before. I don't know what all that means. There's many layers to that. But there's something about serving in a body and with people that are just like, yes, I'm hungry for more. There's a lot of hungry people in this room today. A lot of hungry people are hungry for Jesus. They want to be about what he's about. And that's an exciting place to be, because we get to encourage one another. Let's go farther. Let's go more. Let's go deeper. Let's go higher. Let's challenge one another. Living with a love that so models that of Jesus that any accusations to the contrary have no place to land. That we're living so close to him. We're loving so, we're going to do it imperfectly, but we're loving the way we know how to love because he loved us first. We're living within the confines and contexts of Scripture. I love this one. Lord revealed this one to me. I love this. It's living within the confines of Scripture. When you can read a Scripture and you see yourself in it. When you see the acts of the disciples and the work they were called to do, and you see yourself in it. Yes, that's what we're called to be and do. It's the living and active word. And it's not just scriptures we memorize, but we get to live them. We get to live them. And when people begin to see more and more and more of a people who are living life biblically, that speaks volumes. It speaks a message. It says, how can you walk in such peace? How can you walk in such assurance? How can you walk with such grace, because it was modeled for us, and we've taken on the identity of Jesus. I wrote this: I believe with every fiber of my being that we at Abundant Life Fellowship are called to live and function on such a high level of intimacy with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that everything we do, everywhere we go, every encounter we have matters. Sometimes in big ways, sometimes in small ways, sometimes in ways we have no idea what our impact will be. Sometimes we'll see an impact later, but it's all for the kingdom. It's all for the kingdom. And when I was reading over this this morning, I wrote a little note around a circle at Abundant Life Fellowship, and I remembered something that it was sometime last year, beginning of last year. We had a Saturday seminar here, and Pastor Damian Williams from Newcastle was here. I had never met him before. I think the only one he really knew was Pastor Mark here. But one of the things he said about this body, just from being here that morning, was that Abundant Life Fellowship is part of an apostolic hub, part of an apostolic hub. And an apostolic hub is nothing more than the fivefold ministry, functioning, living, functioning, breathing life as the scriptures tell us to, and then impacting the world for the kingdom. Impacting the world for the kingdom. It's all that is. It's not some highfalutin assignment. It's just being obedient to the word of God. And that's the assignment that is on us as a people, is to be this apostolic hub, this place where people go out of here and they just live life every single day for Jesus wherever they happen to be. That we don't dissect our life into these little sections. Well, this is my work life, and this is my school life, and this is my recreation life, and this is my private life. Colin and I were talking about this a little bit today. You know, we're talking about taking a little trip, the two of us, you know, which is, you know, I said that's awesome. I'd love to do that. But the kingdom mindset doesn't stop just because we're going away. You know, she knew this. This wasn't new to her. But we tend to separate our lives into these little segments. And when we're living life for the kingdom, it's all one life. It's all one life. I was thinking, this verse came to me as I was preparing, as I was working on this, and it's Jesus' prayer in John 17, which is a verse we study a lot around here because the whole context of that verse is about operating in unity, operating as a body, and how the Lord loves to just anoint that kind of unity, and when we're operating in oneness. And here's what Jesus says as he's talking to the Father. He says, I've given them, that's his disciples, that's us, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. So understand that some people in the world may hate us. And not even maybe, they do. They just do. For they're not of the world any more than I'm of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. How many times are we like, Lord, just get me out of here. just get me out of here. And his says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world any more than I'm of it. And as you read that verse, pause a minute and say, well, is that true of me? That I'm no longer part of the world, or am I? You know, I mean, am I in one day and out the next? Only you can answer that. Sanctify them by your truth. The word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And the whole idea of sanctification just means set apart. We had a whole word about that 5 years ago already. It was 5 years ago. Our word was set apart. So the Lord was already preparing us. I mean, you know, it's been there all along to be set apart, but he was reminding us that I'm preparing you. I'm setting you apart to be different, that you don't have to look like everybody else. And the reality of that, we don't even have to all look like one another. You get to be you in God's economy. A new you. A renewed you. So this whole idea that we want to be taken out of the world, and Jesus is like, no, I'm going to keep you here because I have a purpose for you. And the whole context of this prayer is about unity, walking in unity. And so we know Holy Spirit is doing many, many things among us. And I was thinking about this, so many contexts I could talk about, but the one that comes to mind more frequently these days is just our simple men's prayer group that meets at Pastor Shane's house every Saturday. There's something. I'll say this, and I'll say it over and over again. There's something, and again, I'm not leaving out you women. There's a woman for women, too, at Beth's house. But I know what I experience at this gathering, and it's not just some, I don't know, there's a dynamic that is going on in this group of guys that gathers for no other reason than to seek God's face together. And there are deposits being made, and you see transformations taking place in front of you, and you see revelation coming into full view in the room. And it's, I don't know, for me, I just don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss being there. I'm not there as Pastor Jeff. I'm just there as someone that needs that kind of fellowship, that needs that kind of interaction. And again, we're just there to pray. We're seeking God's face together. And there's a brokenness that comes from that. And so when we're doing these things together, and more show up, there's a relationships being built, and there's a unity on that, because the Lord loves to bless that, pour out His Spirit on that, and you become like-minded. You become more like-minded because you're in pursuit of Him together. I was thinking about that last Sunday night. We have prayer meeting, corporate prayer meeting here the first Sunday of every month. And it's basically a pretty small gathering. But I tell you what, it is a place of just intimacy with the Father and with one another that is rich and deep and life-changing. And God hears prayers. He's in the middle of our fellowship. He's in the middle of our worship. He's in the middle of our prayers. And stuff happens. And again, that's part of that. There's a unity that gets created in that atmosphere. And the Lord said, this is part of my assignment for my people. Again, does everybody have to come to everything? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying is the more we do these things together, the more we live with a kingdom mindset. And the second verse I put with this one was this very familiar verse. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So familiar verse, I think sometimes we gloss over it. But the reality is, He doesn't want any of His people conforming to the pattern of this world. And the only way we can do that is allowing transformation of our mind to take place, and that takes place the more we feast on His Word. And the more we do that, the more we can say, oh, I do know what God's will is, which is what everybody's always looking for. What's God's will for my life? Well, most of it's already been revealed through the Word of God. So Pastor Shane said last week, my footsteps aren't safe unless I'm tracking His footsteps. This is our journey. This is our journey. Good stuff. John 14 says, don't you believe that I'm in the Father? Talking to His disciples, don't you believe I'm the Father? He said, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will be even greater than these. And Pastor Shane said last week, we do the greater works because we're tracking His steps. If we're not tracking His steps, any efforts to do greater works, any efforts to do any work for Him will just be flesh. It will just be earthly. And it won't work. So, a couple Sundays ago, I woke up in the morning and the Lord asked me to write down, make a list of what my week looked like. And so, I went out on my porch and sat down and wrote down, Heart of David, met with this person, had counseling with this person, ran into this person randomly, ran into this person randomly, got a text from this person who wanted to go for a run together, posted this on Facebook, got this message from somebody in response to it, and just kind of made a list of, so then the Lord reminded me of all of the scriptures that say, man makes his plans, but God orders his steps. And in those moments, I started thinking, oh my goodness, all of these things on this list, He was in the middle of every one of them. I didn't plan, I made plans, but He orchestrated all of it. And my encouragement with that assignment, and I'm giving you one, is to Pay attention to that a little bit this week. Keep a notebook handy of where you've been, who you talked to, who messaged you, who reached out to you, who'd you reach out to, where'd you go, what'd you do? I mean, I had a whole list, and I was all over the place. I was all over the place in Columbiana County and beyond, but he was in the middle of all of it. He's in the middle of the details of our life. So a couple weeks ago, I was wrapping up a counseling session, and it was I won't tell you when it was. It was an evening. It was an evening counseling session, and as I was wrapping it up, I heard the Lord tell me something very specific that he wanted me to do, or prepare to do. And so I was driving home, and I was praying about, Lord, what does that look like, you know? And the Lord showed me that there'd be a couple other people involved. It wasn't just going to be me to reach out to somebody who had a need. So I was, you know, like, okay, Lord, show me what this looks like, and show me the details of that. And so I went into the next week, I was like praying a bit more about it, and the Lord was showing me all the details. And then, so 1 week later, the thing that he asked for me to do happened, and the people that were involved, that he asked to be involved with it, happened. And it just all came together, And so I tell that story not to say, hey, that's great. In the big scheme of life as events go, it was not a big event. It was a small thing as events go. But to the person that the Lord highlighted to be the recipient of it, it was a huge deal. And to those of us that got to participate in it, it was a big deal for us to watch God's handiwork unfold. And I tell you this story because it's just a simple reminder of how God, I believe God is speaking to his people. If we're paying attention and we are bowed down and we're pressed in and we're grounded in his word and we're grounded in wanting to live our lives for him, I am convinced that those simple everyday assignments are at the ready any given time of any given day. And I believe he wants us as a people to be paying attention to that. I'm always reminded of Dina. So we were the assistant center for the train derailment now almost 2 years ago, more than 2 years ago. And there's people that she met through that those encounters that are still part of her life. The Holy Spirit will remind her, give him a call or go visit, go see them. See, our lives are not our own. They're not our own. And we're paying attention to those instructions and those downloads and those assignments. They matter. They matter. The details matter. So my grandson had a birthday party. 6 years old last Saturday. 6 years old. And so my grandson, Dominic, has a new principal at his school, Dave Guy. And so Dom, without asking anybody, invited Dave Guy to his birthday party. Well, and in Dom's eyes, it's Mr. Guy. Invited Mr. Guy to his birthday party. And then told his parents, which I'm sure they didn't care. So Mr. Guy comes to Dominic's birthday party and brings Garrett with him. And so, little side story, Dom has a new friend in the neighborhood. A little boy moved into a house nearby. And they come and they play. He comes down there and plays all the time. And he goes up there sometimes and plays. And so this friend and his parents were invited to the birthday party. And so we got to meet, I finally got to meet the little boy and the parents, and that we were there. And so Mr. Guy comes into the birthday party, and I go to introduce him to the dad of the little friend. And Dave says, oh, we went to high school together. And it, for that For me, it was one of those moments of Mary tucking away a treasure in her heart of things she was observing, like, Jesus has a plan for this. Jesus has a plan for my grandson opening his big mouth and inviting Mr. Guy to his party. And he has no idea he's being used, but he is inviting Mr. Guy to his birthday party so that Dave could somehow connect with an acquaintance from high school for some bigger purpose. And the reality is, not one of us has to do anything about that. If God has a plan, he's going to bring it about. I'm not suggesting Dave has to like contact him and say, hey, let's have coffee. I want to share Jesus with you. But that'd be great. When God shows us things, he will bring about what he has in mind to bring about. I was reminded also, so we have a group of people we play cards with. We've played cards with them for quite a few years, Connie and I. And I remember when we first showed up to play cards and they found out I was a pastor. We had this thought, I don't know how legitimate it was, but it was our thought, that we were suddenly going to ruin all of their fun. And there was sometimes alcohol there. Some people drank. Sometimes the language was a little salty. But we just went and played cards and loved on them and cared for them. We knew some of the people. You know, some of them were friends of ours, and some of them weren't surprised that I was a pastor. They knew that. But we went last night, and the awesome thing about it, we were talking about this on the way home, but even before we got in the car, we ended up leaving. Before we left last night, we ended up gathering around this woman and prayed for her, who has a need, you know, who has had a need that we became aware of. And she pulled us aside and said, "We want to pray for her. We want to pray for her." We got in the car last night. We were talking a little bit about wherever we are, wherever we get to be. And this isn't because I don't get to do all this stuff because I'm a pastor. I'm a disciple of Jesus before my pastor. You're a disciple of Jesus, whatever other position you have. So this is not because of my job that I get to do all of these things. We all get to do all of these things. And so we got in the car last night and we were thinking, you know, the reality is that, you know, the alcohol that used to be part of this gathering is pretty much gone away. We didn't tell anybody to don't bring your alcohol. We're not offended by someone's alcohol. But they just don't bring it anymore. And I think the reality is some of them just don't do it anymore. And we didn't do anything. Wherever we go, whatever we get to do is all part of the journey beyond salvation. We get to live the kingdom mindset. I don't know how many of you guys have been to the 26-3 coffee shop. It's inside the hotel in Columbiana. 26-3 coffee shop. It's based on Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace to him whose mind is steadfast because he cares for you. That's the scripture it's based on. It's kind of become my office out of the office. I meet with people there all the time. What's awesome about this is the, and I've noticed this more and more recently, and I absolutely believe it's part of being in an apostolic hub is that wherever we go, we're going to see kingdom things coming to life. And I was there twice this week. A couple weeks ago when I was there, there were so many people in there that we had to wait in line for my coffee. And we ended up, guy I met with, we ended up going to a gathering place upstairs, table upstairs, and we sat down, and then all of these women that were there in line getting coffee, they were all up there, and as I'm sitting there, and we kind of overheard them conversation, they were reading scripture. They were reading scripture right in the middle of the upstairs lobby of the hotel. When I was there this week, I met somebody there, and we're sitting there, and then this group of people comes in, sits next to the table, and before long, we realize they're having a Bible study. And I say this to say this: Jesus is being proclaimed in public platforms like never before. Like never before. We do not have to fear opening our mouth to share Jesus. Some will not like it. They don't have to like it. We're not going to shove anything down their throat, but we're going to speak about our Jesus. Here's what he did for me. He could do that for you. So I had a dream Friday night into Saturday morning before prayer meeting, and it was very pronounced. And in the dream, there was a group of us, so we were outside. It was definitely an outdoor setting, almost like a woodsy type setting. We were kind of walking through paths, and I wasn't exactly sure what all we were doing, but it seemed very purposeful that we were going from place to place on mission, almost like disciples on a mission trip, just stopping at various places. And in the dream, there were a lot. I don't know how many people were there, but I know in particular there were more than these people. But I recognized Marvin Snyder. I recognized Ian Chamberlain. I recognized Pastor Shane. And I didn't see him in the dream, but I was aware that he was there, and it was Isaac Ricketts. So there were five of us that were particularly of note to me. And we were on mission. And there was a time and place in the dream where there was somebody, we had to take eye medicine to somebody. It was specifically eye medicine. And we were, I don't remember actually taking it to the person that was receiving it, but that was part of our assignment. We were going to stop somewhere and deliver eye medicine. There was also medicine that was for someone who was ready to deliver a baby. And I don't know if they give medicine for anybody ready to deliver a baby, but that was part of the assignment. Interestingly enough, the night before I went to sleep, I had gotten a text from Adam Dieter saying, "Kelsey's water broke." This was Friday night. "Kelsey's water broke." And the only thing I remember from Lamaze class back in the day was, "When your water breaks, you're having a baby within the next 24 hours. That's all I remembered. And that's what I told him. I said, "Well, your baby's coming in the next 24 hours. I just remembered that from Lamaze class." And so I'm kind of coming out of my dream, waking up, and I had this thought, oh my gosh, that medicine for the person having a baby has got to be Kelsey. And then I kind of drifted back to sleep, and there were a few more details, but it was kind of like it was in this conscious state, dream state, you know. But it was very, very clear that we were on assignment, that Marvin was on assignment. And Marvin, I will say this, and I've already spoke this to him and spoken it to several places. Marvin was fully restored. Fully restored. For those who don't know, Marvin had a stroke a while back and has still dealt with some of the effects of that, but he was fully restored. And I was thinking about just each person that was identifiable in the dream. We're living on mission. We're living as an apostolic hub. We're living the journey beyond salvation, kingdom living. And Marvin's fully restored, and we're living on a journey, and he gets to give that away. He gets to say, "I've been healed, so are you. It's for you." I was thinking about Ian. I won't tell any details, but Ian is living about in the power of reconciliation. He has shared this with our men's group. I won't go into the details, but there's a reconciliation part of his ministry. And Ian's on this mission trip with us in the woods. And he gets to speak a message of reconciliation because it's what he's received. That's what an apostolic hub does, is we give away what Holy Spirit has given to us. I was thinking of Isaac, who I didn't see in the dream, but I was aware that he was there, is a brand new father. And so the whole idea of new life, he understands the new life in Jesus, but he has a new life in his life, and he's sitting right there on his lap. But he gets to be on this mission trip saying, he gave new life to me, I'm giving new life to you. Part of an apostolic hub, part of the journey beyond salvation. Pastor Shane and I were both there. We're both pastors here. There'll be more of that later. But there's relevance to it. There was relevance to the details of the dream. And my encouragement is that, does every dream mean something? No. Thank God. But I believe he's speaking to his people through dreams and visions. And it's another part of the journey beyond salvation. Pay attention to them. Pay attention to them. He's speaking messages. We talked about some of this stuff in Open Door class today. And one of the things I had written after class was over, I just wrote this at the top of my notes. A couple of months ago, I spoke a message that said, it was all about a passage of Scripture where God had spoken instructions. He'd given instructions to people. And the Scripture says, the Lord spoke and they paid no attention. They paid no attention. And I remember being jolted by that. And the whole juxta of my message was, I don't want that to ever be us. I don't want the Lord to be speaking things to us and we're paying no attention and we're just kind of going through life, even as believers in Jesus, with sort of a casual mentality of, well, I'll get to that when I get to it, mindset. No, we're living in an urgent day. An urgent day. We're living in not only an urgent day, but it's an exciting day. It's an exciting day for the body of Christ to live life with a kingdom mindset, that he has divine appointments set up for us all over the place. If we're listening, if we're paying attention, if we're engaged together, this is never going to be a Lone Ranger assignment. Never a Lone Ranger. This one assignment that I had specifically, recruit at least two other people to go with you. And I didn't have to search high and low for them. That's one of the awesome things about this body is there are no shortage of people who are saying, I'll go, what can I do? That's because Holy Spirit has put upon us the ability to say what Cliff just said, yes, Lord. What do you have for me? Yes, Lord. What if it makes me scared? Yes, Lord. What if I don't know what it all looks like? Yes, Lord. The reality is, if he ever showed any of us ahead of time what it all looked like, we'd say no, Lord. Believe me, I tried. When I didn't even know the whole picture. John 5. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. And I share this scripture because I believe that's the place he wants us to be living and functioning, is that we see what the Father's doing, and then we do it. We hear what the Father's saying, and we say it. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he's pleased to give it. And we get to live life in that place. We're not Jesus, but we have the same access. We have access. Our word for the year is the voice of truth. He doesn't give us these words in any sort of a random order. He gives them because he knows he's putting his people on assignment. And I'm not going to say if we are, we are functioning and living life as part of an apostolic hub. And the reality, and my encouragement to everybody sitting here, is you are part of it. You are part of it. And again, that's not limited to an abundant life thing. This is the body of Christ, a body of Christ thing. So I had that dream. And when I woke up from the dream, at some point in the morning, I went on Facebook and I ran across a post. And the post actually was on, of all places, Mahoning County Buy, Sell, Trade. I'm on there because I buy and sell stuff. But here's what the post said. And what caught my attention was, it was a man standing barefoot in a woodsy area. And when I saw it, remember I just had this dream when we were walking through woods. So it caught my attention because this looked like what I'd seen in my dream. And there's a man standing there barefoot holding a little girl. And here's what he says. I've followed the life of sin most of my life. I want to learn and study the life of my Savior, but I can't afford to buy a Bible. I'll do chores or anything I want to learn and teach my daughter anything that I need to teach her. Anything will help. God bless. And I looked to see if this was like local, and it looked like he's from Warren. And so I just put on the post, hey, I'll buy you a Bible. I'll bring it to you. And I haven't heard from him. But it caught my attention because there is such a harvest out there. There is such a hunger out there. There is such a harvest of people searching for truth and wanting to find answers and wanting to know where to find them and how to find them, and just people wanting people to come alongside them to help lead them in the way. And a lot, at the same time, there's people that will hate us for it. I went on the post and I was looking at some of the responses, and most everybody was encouraging. There weren't a lot of responses, but most everybody was encouraging. But there was one woman who said, forget about that God stuff. Go get mental health help. And it was a reminder to me that some people just hate God. They just hate God. But we get to love even them. We get to love even them. Yep. We're living in a time, and I believe so much of it, we've heard many references to this, that we'll keep hearing references to Charlie Kirk's death, to the seed principle of his death producing multiple, too many to count, ministries. But I saw a post from one woman who said, shortly after his assassination, she said, I'm an agnostic, but these last 2 weeks something is changing and I don't understand it. And it's a reminder to me about the apostolic hub that we are a part of, to be living on this journey beyond salvation in kingdom living, kingdom mindset. When I left men's prayer yesterday, I went to pick up Connie, and Mike Glick went with me because Debbie was at women's prayer meeting, so we rode together, and he was telling me that they were going with a group of their friends that they've met together for a while, and they were going out, and they were praying over three different schools in the area yesterday afternoon, and Debbie talked a little bit about that in our open door class today, and it was just, again, another reminder that this apostolic hub is real. We get to go places and speak the kingdom over places of darkness. And then as she was sharing, I was reminded that there was also a group in Salem yesterday that meets the second Saturday of every month, and they were walking around Salem praying over the community. There are so many opportunities for God's people to be shining light into darkness. And I believe there's a mandate for us to jump in with both feet to whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing at this time. It's not for me to say, you're supposed to be doing this, and you're supposed to be doing this, and you're supposed to be doing this. But I believe every one of us has a part in this apostolic hub to live the kingdom in everyday life. Let's stand. This whole idea of living with a kingdom mindset every single day, every moment of every single day, it's not new to us. We've seen it modeled by Gary and Mario and Sloan their entire, well, as long as I've known them, is they wake up every single day saying, Lord, what do you have for us? I'm not putting them on a pedestal. I'm just saying we have examples among us of people that are doing this, and they're doing it well. They're doing it with many, many obstacles at times, many things to overcome, but they're still doing it. They haven't stopped. Gary tells us over and over again how many doctor's appointments they have a week. But there's not one doctor appointment they go to where Jesus isn't shared. And not because they're ever going trying to force anything on anybody. The Lord just sets them up. And the reality is, Lord is setting us up. The question is, are you willing to be set up? As we go to prayer here, if you are living, if you've received Jesus and you're somehow your journey feels stalled for some reason or by something or unproductive, we want to pray for you today. We want to come alongside you and say, let's help get the motor started again. Help get you unstuck. Because if you're part of this body, you're included in the plans. There's no one excluded. You are seen. You are seen by God, and you have gifts. You have things to bring to the equation that maybe you haven't recognized yet. We can help you to discover that if you don't know them. I do this from time to time too. As we go to prayer, I always encourage people that if you're one of those people that as we're praying for people and you're like, man, I'd love to go to pray for someone, but you're afraid, or you don't know what that looks like, or you don't know what to say, or you don't know how to minister, come alongside and just watch. Come alongside and just be around praying people. There's no method or procedural things. We learn by watching, we learn by listening, we learn by paying attention. So maybe, you know, that's you today, where I was like, man, I'd love to step out in prayer, but I'm too nervous, or I'm too shy, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. We have lots of willing people who want to pray for people, but they also love to watch others find their place in ministry. The altars are open. There's people here who will pray. If you want to join us for whatever reason as a minister of God's goodness or as a receiver. There's plenty of people. Those handouts I have up here, the scriptures are up here if anybody wants them. Father, I thank you so much for your presence in our midst. You're a good, good Father. We love you. We acknowledge you. We acknowledge you in this place. We acknowledge the apostolic hub that we are a part of. And I pray that each one of us this week will recognize opportunities, encounters, conversations, meetings, gatherings, appointments at work, at home, in neighborhoods, at stores, at sporting events, wherever we are. Open doors to be a voice of truth in this time. Let your name be lifted high as we go out of here. Let us be mindful even as we go out of here that the mission doesn't stop but actually starts outside the doors. Pray this all in Jesus' name.